Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Two Norries podcast. I'm your host, James, and I'm joined as always by my good friend, Timmy Lowe.
Hey, everyone.
Lisa Whitehouse is in the hot seat today. How are you, girl?
Not so bad. How are you?
You're a fellow Norrie.
I am, boy.
And you got sepsis.
I did. I got sepsis over going to Turkey for surgery.
For some of the people that don't know you, just give them a little description of who you are and where you came from.
Right, well, I'm Lisa. I'm from Knocknaheeny. I'm living up there, Jesus, nearly all my life. I came from Churchfield originally, then we moved to the south side, then I moved back up then again, so.
Well, how do you find living up in Hollyhill, Knocknaheeny?
It's grand, it's quiet up there. So yeah. I like it, it's grand up
there. Yeah.
I think with the new houses going in up there, it's after changing the whole area.
Yeah, it is, it's after getting quieter up there, now in the last couple of years it is, because it was wild up there for a while.
The regeneration, do you know, they built 99 houses in 12 or 14 years or something ridiculous. Yeah, it's actually ridiculous. Does that see the houses on Kilmore Road, the red brick ones? They started them, they must have started them 7 or 8 years ago. They're still hanging there in rubble.
Yeah,
so like it is great that for the people that have the homes, they got the homes, but how many years are people waiting actually for the homes? Yeah. Like, why does it take 12 years to build 90 homes? Do you know what I mean? That's something wrong there.
Definitely, yeah.
And there's loads of them still standing in and stuff as well, you know, waiting to be knocked and things like that. Yeah. So, yeah, the houses are nice though and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And they just have to clean up the area loads, so yeah. It's nice, you know.
But I remembered, I was living in Armagh Avenue one time. Do you know Barnardo's?
Yeah, Barnardo's, yeah.
Well, I was living facing, that used to be a green area.
Yeah.
There was the roundy steps, and then you go up through Cliney Heights and Foley Shop.
I remember all that.
But I was living there, and when they started building Barnardo's, you know, when there's any kind of destruction of the land like that, mm-hmm. you get a lot of rats.
Oh, yeah.
And we'd rats in the house. You'd hear them squealing.
And you had rats up around there at that time, didn't they? Because everything was being knocked.
But you know, when this regeneration is going on for a very long time, it's not good for the people living in the environment, you know what I mean?
Had your lives put on hold, really, because a lot of the people were moved out of their homes and those houses were knocked. They were moved into newer houses.
And in different areas as well, they were put in stuff like
that. So the community was actually broken up.
Yeah.
And you would have had people who lived next door to each other maybe 20, 30, 40 years.
And then they're next to new neighbour. This would be hard, especially for older people.
Because for the older people, they would have had maybe the next door neighbour that looked after them.
Yeah, and you know, like knock for an old cup of milk now or a bit of sugar or something, you know, like the old ways and stuff like that.
But even if you're an old lady or an old man and you're living in Carberry Grove or for the lawn or the heart of Knocknaheeny, where you've super value is there, the post office is here, you know, everything is walking distance, and then all of a sudden you're shanghaied and down to the arsehole in the meadows, or down around Shanakeel, where there's not a shop for miles, there's no bus. I'd say it can be very isolating for the older people.
Of course, it is very isolating, definitely 100%. God love us, you know, because like they're so used to being so close to everything, and then they're shifted down there.
Yeah,
now even though the houses are newer and they're better. And, you know, they're probably better for themselves and everything. Because remember, all the asbestos used to be in the things and everything years ago.
Yeah, yeah. But if you need any asbestos removed, I know somebody that does that.
Oh, we started a new asbestos company there, myself and Hilary.
Very good.
Inline Eco. So we do asbestos removal and we re-roof. And we've all the training, the insurances and everything above board. And it just looks like it's an area that could be good for us. You know, we both have the skills needed to be in that area. So I've gone into that at the moment and hopefully
very good.
We can do something with it. You know, but there's something else I just want to jump in. It's just in relation to, you know, there's so many people at the moment, Lisa, men and women, mm-hmm. right? They just want to get stuff done.
Yeah.
They want to maybe improve their appearance, or there might be something that they don't like about themselves, and they believe that they can go abroad and get work done, or you can get work done here, you know. How did you feel about yourself before you even, was there something bothering you about just yourself?
Stomach and stuff. And do you know what, I was never ever happy with myself anyway. I come across as a very confident person. Now I am confident to a certain degree, but like, do you know, everyone has their insecurities. Everyone has something that they don't like about themselves. Yeah. Everyone, no matter what you do, no matter, sure, like even now, do you know, like right, there's still parts of me. Yeah. And even before I went over, my partner Eric, he was there to me. I know you're not gonna be happy when you come back. And I was like, shut up. I will. He was like, Lisa, you won't, like, because, you know, but like, do you know what, right? It's just the human nature, do you know, like, right? Johnny, like, right? We always want to improve ourselves. We always want to do better. We always want to set a goal for ourselves and achieve it. So, do you know, I just want.
And that's so true, because I can second that. James, can everybody in this room here can jump on that?
Yeah.
Because there's always something about ourselves that we're insecure about and that we don't like about. Mm. And even you said it, your dear, like if you asked your partner, Eric,
yeah,
like, he would turn around and say, you do your perfect way. Well,
like he told me, he said to me before I went over, he was like, Lisa, you don't need to go. I was like, I want to go. I was like, before I ever had you, I was doing this. I was like, going. Sure, do you know what? I had just had it in my mind. So like, this was 3 years in the making. Yeah. I was supposed to go in 2021, me and one of the girls, and then we couldn't go. Just with work and stuff. And do you know what? I needed downtime and stuff, and I just couldn't take time off work, and she couldn't take the time either. So that was cancelled. I lost the money for the flights for that. Then I was supposed to go in October last year, and my dad got 24 to 48 hours to live. So now he's still here, thank God. But I just had to, do you know what, that was the last thing on my mind. So I cancelled it, lost the flights for that. And then I was like, there in January, I was like, I'm booking this. And Eric was like, hang on a while. I was like, nah. I was like, fuck it. I was, I'm booking it now. And he was like, oh, all right. So I booked it for July. So
you were over there on July this year?
Yeah, I went in July.
And what were you going over there to get done?
So I went over for my makeover. So I got a tummy tuck, 360 light bulb, a breast lift and a BBL. More than anything, I wanted the BBL.
What's the BBL?
The Brazilian butt lift.
Well, that. How does that work?
They just, you can get implants or you can get fat transfers. So I got fat transfers because it's...
Take it from one part of the body, put it to the other.
Just put it in, yeah. So like, they took 8,000 cc's of fat out of me, which is ridiculous. I didn't know that it was that bad or that dangerous till I actually came home and the doctor's here taught me how fucking, Jesus, like that's way too much to be taken out at one time. It's just whatever. And I got 1,000 cc's in into each ash cheek, yeah. But I really
get that done myself.
Oh, yeah.
Squats.
Tippy be going home with a big bubble butt.
But I had no ass, and I never could build an ass. And even when I no matter how much I went to the gym or whatever, I couldn't build one. So I was like, you know what, I wanted this done for ages. So that was my number one on the list. Like, and then obviously Tommy took over having the kids and stuff. You know,
yeah,
and no matter how much money or not money, no matter how much weight you lose, no matter how toned you get, whatever, you know, you're still always going to have a bit of skin and stuff like that.
You know what? There's not a woman in the country would disagree with you there. Yeah, 100%. You know, and there's not, because my own wife speaks in the same way. Mm-hmm. I'd like to get this way, or I just like these a little bit bigger.
I know.
And I said, you know what, that's okay. Like,
I know.
You know, like, if it's something that somebody wants, great. If it can help them, their confidence, absolutely fantastic. But it's about getting it done right properly, by the right people. Exactly. And we'll come to that, mm-hmm, in a little bit, you know. But
what was the experience like over there?
Gosh, it was horrendous. I'll never ever forget it as long as I live. Like, the smell of the hospital will never leave my nose. The pain will never leave my mind. Oh, I'll never forget how I felt off there. It was just so scary, petrifying. Oh, like, and even though I had Eric with me, you know, I was just so, so scary. I'll never forget the pain as long as I live. Till the day I go to my grave, I will never forget the pain I was in. Like, I thought when I was going over that, I'd be like, you know, I have a high pain threshold. Like, grand. Mm. But like, it's not natural and it's not normal to get as much work as what I got done.
Do you get it all done in one go?
I got it all done in one go. Like, that's an awful lot of work.
One sitting.
Yeah. Like, right, I got fucking 360 light bulb. I got a tummy tuck. I got muscle reconstruction in my stomach. I got a breast lift and I got a BBL. Like, that's and they've done it in 5.5 hours.
Fucking
now, man. Right, but do you know what, right? It's the funniest thing is that he does, like, right, I was talking to him afterwards. He told me he does 3 or 4 surgeries in a day. I was like, what? I was like, how do you manage that? Like, and he was like, oh, sure, it's just a conveyor belt of people though, do you know? Like, right, I was thrown out. There was another one in.
Did you meet any Irish people over?
Do you know what? I was just in the hospital. No, like, I went to Istanbul, so most people go to Kuzadasi and stuff. I went to Istanbul, or else they go to Ekal in a different part of Turkey.
How did you fly into Istanbul? Did you fly from Dublin, was it?
Like, from Dublin, yeah. So we went up the night before, and we stayed in a hotel, and then we flew out then the following.
Did you get to see any of the city? It's meant to be an amazing city.
The first day we got there at like 5 or 6 or something, like, to meet the doctor, and Eric was getting his teeth done, so he met his crowd. And then the next day we went out for about 4 hours, I'd say. We left that morning at like 8, and it took us an hour and a half to get up to the markets. The traffic is just, I didn't get to see nothing properly because it was just, it was all rush and it was all go. So like, right, we got there on the 17th. I got my surgery on the 19th, and from the 19th, I was just, I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe.
How long were you after the surgery when you woke up? How many days were you there before you came home?
So I was there for, say, was it 9 days? I think it was. So I was supposed to come home on the 26th, but I got a blood clot the night before we were supposed to fly home. So I got a massive blood clot in my chest, and I rang my aunt because she was after getting a breast lift and stuff, and I was like, is this normal? I was like, my chest is killing me. I was like, it's really swelling and stuff. And she was like, no. So I was ringing their translators and stuff, you know, and their assistants and things like that, and she wasn't answering me. Was this Sunday? I don't know whatever night it was. I can't even remember it properly. But I was ringing her, she wouldn't answer me, so I rang the surgeon on Instagram. So I was like, please answer me. I was like, I'm really worried. So he answered me back. He was like, what's wrong? It goes, I went on FaceTime with him. I was like, what's this? I was like, my chest is swelling. I goes, it's really sore. It was like up here, and it was so sore. I felt like it was just going to bust. Mm-hmm. So he was like, oh my God. He was like, no. He was like, straight to emergency now. I was like, emergency. He was like, come straight to the hospital. So he sent a cab for me. So we went down, and he just prepped me for surgery, brought me straight down. He told Eric I'll be down there 45 minutes to an hour, and I was gone 3 hours. And we didn't know where I was. He was asking, like, is this at 3 o'clock in the morning in the hospital? Like, he was like, where's my wife? Like, you know, where's she? And they were like, oh, there's no Lisa Wayhouse here. We don't have her on the system. So he thought I was dead. He didn't know where I was. He was running around the hospital. They sent him down to the basement where the operations goes on. Couldn't find me. He was so scared. He was on the phone to my brother. My brother was like, find her. He was like, I don't know where she is. He's like, I can't find her. He's like, they won't tell me anything. So they all thought I was dead at that stage because I was just having such a bad time over there.
So this happened after the procedure?
This happened afterwards. So like, I had the procedure on the Wednesday, and I think I got out of surgery at like 2, and at like 4:30 they woke me up, and they were like, come on, up. They were like pulling me out of the bed, and I was like, spaced out of it, but I still remember it. And then I remember they were trying to pull me to get me up to go walk, and I was like, that was falling down. Eric was like, she can't. He was like, what are you doing to her? I was bawling, crying. I was like, I physically can't. They were like, you have to get up, you have to walk. So I stood up out of the bed, and I was nearly collapsing. So Eric was like, leave her alone. So I was like, I can't. I vomited everywhere. I was like, I can't do this. So they were like, okay. So they just like put me back into the bed, and then they like were talking, they walked out. I was begging them for more pain relief. They would give me like paracetamol and stuff in like a drip. Now I got morphine and stuff alright off them, but like it was just paracetamol. Then afterwards they were just giving me paracetamol and drip. I was like, can you give me something stronger? I was like, I actually am in so much pain. I was bawling, crying. I was getting sick. I was in so much pain. And they were just like ignoring me. They're like, kind of a thing.
Was the pain focused on your chest, or was it all over?
Jesus, the most pain I had was through my back because I couldn't straighten up. Right, imagine getting your whole body tightened. I was literally like scrunched like that. So all my muscles got reconstructed, my whole stomach. So I was laying in a bed, but like I was like laying, it was so awkward now. I was like laying back like that. And then there was a dip in the bed because when you get a BBL, you can't lay on your bum because you'll break down the fat and you'll destroy the fat all day. So I had to sit, like, I was laying in this dip of a thing. My back, my spot, oh my God, I never forget the pain in my back. Even when I came home afterwards.
Were you thinking to yourself, like, how the fuck did I put myself in this situation?
Oh my God, you know, I literally thought I was going to die. I'll never forget the pain. I was bawling crying. Yeah.
Horrible.
Do you know, I know I wouldn't recommend anyone ever to do anything. I'd tell you now, like, maybe if you were getting it done, get it done in bits and pieces.
Yeah.
well, like, I don't know how I even got out the back end of it, to be honest.
It sounds something like your whole body probably went into shock.
Oh, it did, 100%.
What's going on?
And I wouldn't have been in the best health either before I went over, because, like, you know, I'm always tired. I'm always random. Like I have very, very, like, low immune system and stuff. So, like, I shouldn't have probably went over and got all this done. Do you know, before I went, I had a weird feeling, because everyone was saying it to me, and I was like, nope, grand, I'm going to do it. I said, they're all like, your nerves. I was like, no, I don't care. And I generally wasn't for a while. But then when it started getting closer to it, I was like, even the night before we went in for surgery, you know, we were laying in the bed in the hotel over, and Eric was like, you all right, love? And I was like, no. I was like, I'm shitting. He's like, are you all right? I was like, and then I started bawling and crying. He was like, you're grand, baby. He was like, everything's going to be fine. He was like, stop worrying now. He's like, this is what you want. He's like, you're going to be brand new. He was like, it's a grand. And I was like, I have a weird feeling. He was like, I knew you fucking had a feeling. I was like, oh. Because, yeah. Like, Joe, like, right, everyone was saying to you, they were like, are you nervous? Like, right? And I was like, no. But then everyone then was trying to turn me off. Like, right, my family were trying to turn me off. My dad used to be like, watch Botched. I was watching Botched last night. I was like, Dad, shut up, like, you know. But
that's like watching a documentary about plane crashes the day before your holidays. You know what I mean?
My dad is there. Watch this now. Watch this. I'm like, well, I watched this last night. Botched. I was like, Dad, shut up. Yeah. Like, I don't care.
When did sepsis start making an appearance?
When I came home. So we got off the plane at 2 o'clock in Dublin on the 28th of July, and we got in the car and we drove straight down to CUH. I didn't get out to CUH till Sunday night. Bits, they were like, I had a hole in my back, because where they put the drains in after you get the light bone and stuff like that, I had a hole just above my bum, and like that was wide open, there was fluid coming out of it. Like, right before we got on the plane, I went out to the nurses in the nurses station, because I was in the hospital, and I was like, can you change my bandages, because right, my back was leaking. I mean, fluid now was just pouring out my back. I'd literally stand up and it would just pour out me. So it'd be running down my legs, soaking wet. Just fluid, like, and bloods and stuff. So they were changing, they were cleaning up, whatever, blah, blah, whatever. And then the morning we were sent to go to the airport. I went out and I asked the nurses, I was like, can you change my bandages? And they were like, no. They were like, we're not permitted to do this. I was like, can you please change my bandages? I was like, I need to get my bandage on my back changed. I was like, it's soaking wet. I was like, I have to. And your one just handed me gauze and alcohol and a bandage, and just handed them to me and just walked away from me. I was like, what the fuck? So I went down, Eric done my back. Sure, like,
where was that, in the Mercy?
In the Mercy, but no.
In Turkey, yeah.
So, no, that was in Turkey. That was before we got on the flight to come home. So he put it on, and sure, I didn't even get to the airport, and there was fluid pouring down my back again. I had, like, a black dress thing on me.
Oh, was your pain at this stage, Lisa?
Oh, my God, it was very bad. It was so bad.
There was 3 or 4 procedures that had to be done.
And
you had pain coming from each and every one of those different areas, because you were operated on those areas.
Agony. I couldn't walk. I was literally bent over, like, this. I had a walking stick, and I was walking. I was so swollen as well, because I was full of water from being opened up, and I was so, so swollen. I'll never forget it. I actually have pictures on my phone. Like, right when I show people out there, like, I can't believe that was you. My face was swollen, my hands. I tore my 2 groins when I was, after I came back, I couldn't walk. I was in agony. I was after pulling my groins, because the night before we flew home, the doctors were telling me to go out and walk, Joe. They were like, walk and get exercise. You have to move your body to get the fluid out of your body. So I was like, okay. So there was, like, a supermarket next to the hospital, so Eric brought me down. Oh my God, I was like, I literally can't walk. I was like, I'm actually in agony. He's like, come on. He's like, you have to walk. He's like, you have to. Because, like, right, I was after having the emergency operation over there on the Wednesday, I think it was the Wednesday, we flew home on the Friday, yeah, so I was after having the emergency operation over there, and we were supposed to fly home on the 16th, and we obviously couldn't fly home, so, right, he wouldn't tell us then when we could fly home, so we couldn't amend our flight, so we lost our flights, so we were panicking then, because we were after running out of money. We were like, what are we going to do? So I was
in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Like, when can I go home? When can I go home? But, like, he wouldn't give us a day. And then he came in then, like, the Thursday evening. He was like, oh, you can fly home tomorrow. I was like, tomorrow? But you know what? I didn't feel safe there. I just wanted to go home so bad. But I was so scared then at the same time because I was off to get a blood clot. I was going to travel to my heart. Mm-hmm. He'd bring me down for emergency surgery. While I was in that emergency surgery as well, I woke up on the table. They didn't give me enough anaesthetic, so my mind was awake, but my body was asleep.
Oh, Jesus.
So, like, that was another thing that, like, happened to me over there. So, like, besides all the pain and all the stuff that I went through, like,
and I knew about a 4-hour flight, I'd say, to Dublin.
It was nearly 5 hours. Yeah,
and then another spin to Cork.
I think it took us, like, 4 hours, cause, like, he'd keep stopping because I couldn't. I was, like, bawling with the pain I was in. I was screaming, like,
so, and when you got home then you went up in the Mercy?
I know, I went straight to CUH.
You went to the CUH.
We didn't go home, we just got straight. I just was like,
what did they say at the end of CUH?
They were like, what do you have to do to yourself? Like, I just got off bandages. My back was soaking. Like, right on the way down from Dublin, we had to stop in a garage. I'll never forget it, right? You know, them puppy pad things that, like, you have right after you get surgery, right? They put them down in that. So I had a load of them in my bag. Me and Eric had to go into a garage and he literally had to drain my back. So I was like this, and he was just pushing the fluid out of my back because
out the hole,
and it was just pouring down my legs. I was bawling, crying because I couldn't, like, I was in agony. I'm telling you now, it's scary. It's so scary. And, like, it's actually, like, I have PTSD over what's after happening to me from all this. Like, I'm a shell of the person that I was. Do you know, it's just so scary, right? If I knew then what I know now. Like, and you know, to anyone that is considering going to these places to get stuff done, just, Jesus, think about it, like, do you know.
Would it be these places or would it be get the work done in general?
No, do you know what now? Like, right, my surgeon out in CUH, Susie, I love her. She's saved my life, I swear to God. She's an angel from heaven, I swear. That she's have to come in to save me. She really is. I adore the ground she walks on. She's unbelievable. She's a fantastic surgeon. Like, there was a gauze left in my chest. That's what caused the sepsis for me. And I had surgery 2 weeks ago. This is my second surgery now since I came home to Ireland because my breast just kept swelling up and it kept filling up with abscesses. So
just repeat what you said. There was gauze.
There was a gauze.
One of the operations left in your chest.
There was a gauze from Turkey left inside my chest.
A piece of cloth.
Yeah, a long piece of gauze that size. It was up here underneath my chest cavity thing.
Yeah.
I got MRIs now, right? Bear in mind, I'm home since the 28th of July. I'm after having, I don't know how many ultrasounds, drainages. I got opened up to get a washout. So they opened up my chest and they washed out my chest. I had MRIs and that never showed up. It was buried so deep. It was under my muscle, my tissue, my fat. It was just buried under there. And it was only just by chance that, like, she literally opened me up a few weeks ago and she was really, you know, like, giving me a proper clean out. Yeah. She was really rooting around to get me, like, just to make sure.
Yeah.
Because, right, we didn't know what was causing all this infection because, right, it would just be gone. And I'm after being on serious antibiotics. I'm after being drained manually. I'm after having drains in my boob.
Okay.
Like, you know, like, walking around, like, with a bag of pus for 2 weeks at a time, you know, having, and then going over to the hospital 24/7. I'm after having all that done. And, like, it just kept coming back and coming back. And
they she found it.
Causing it. And, you know, even Susie, you know, my surgeon, she was like, what is causing it? She was like, I was like baffled.
The surgeon is doing 3 or 4 of them a day,
do you know,
4 or 5 hours each. So he's fucking half asleep. Do you know, doing them, I'd
say. Even some of the operations she got for maybe the clot, like not even using enough anesthetic for yeah. that. I think like that they were basically just trying to cut costs and in relation to what they were.
They're probably err on the side of caution with the anesthetic because a few people have died on the bed because of the anesthetic. There was a couple of people died dental from Ireland. They died on the dental shop.
Because they too much anesthetic.
Yeah, or they were allergic to it, or they had a reaction to it. So the anesthetic is the most dangerous part of the operation. So they probably underdosed it out of fear. But you had an awful experience.
Terrible altogether.
What would you say to any young man or woman, not having to be a young one, just because you're young, but there's people in their 40s, 50s and that doing it too, isn't there?
Yeah.
Would you have any advice, like if people are adamant on doing it, would you save up and do it at home or go to maybe a different country? Or?
100%. Like, right, I know it's expensive. It is expensive because, like, right, for what I was going to get done, it would have been about 45, 50 grand there, I'd say. Easily, like, because I got so much work done.
And what did it cost over there?
A fraction of that.
Yeah, you don't have to say
that. A fraction. But like I worked so hard for that money, do you know?
Yeah,
like, that's so disappointing. I worked so hard, I saved so hard for it, you know. Like right, I got a loan as well off the credit union to put towards it, you know. I had that money for years, for like the last 3 years, and I had it and I wouldn't touch it. That's my surgery money, do you know? And it's just so disappointing, the experience that I had, because like fucking I know people who went over. I mean, my friend Amy went over and she didn't get as much stuff as what I got done, but like she's grand, she's flying around the place, do you know? And I know the people who got stuff done and they're grand. It's just I was just unlucky one, I suppose, and I was the unfortunate one to get all this.
But you know what, there's something, whether you believe this or not, you know, you're after going through your own pain and torture physically and mentally.
Yeah,
and as you said, you've PTSD, you know, after the trauma has left with you. But well, you sharing your experience here today, like there's good in that.
Oh, I know. And you know, right now, I'm just so grateful as well of life and stuff. It's weird, you know, like right, stuff I would have took for granted before, I don't anymore. Like I'm literally, after being in hospice since the 28th of July, I'm after being out like 2 weeks, like 2.5 weeks max, you know, in between that time frame. That's nearly 3 months. So I'm after missing so much, you know, of like right, my kids. I didn't see my kids, I didn't see like loads of things, you know, like right, I missed loads of family events for the summer, you know, like right. And then I was thinking about it afterwards, I was like, I literally nearly died for this, you know, like right, my kids would have never seen me again. I know this sounds stupid, I would have never seen another sunset, I would have never had my feet in the ocean, you know, like, you know, all that was gone for what, like, you know, just because I wanted to have a new body.
And how, you know,
I'm grand, I'm getting there. It's hard, like, you know, like there's good days and bad days and stuff, but like I'm getting there and stuff.
How is your body after healing?
It's grand. It's
I don't know, there's still stuff going on at the moment.
No, it's fine. Everywhere else is fine. It was just my chest all the time. That's what was making me so sick. It's like I had sepsis and I didn't even know for a whole week. I had sepsis for a week and I didn't even know.
And you know, you had sepsis and the month of sepsis, it was sepsis month.
I know, sepsis month, yeah. I was so, so sick with it. Oh my God. And I didn't even know what was wrong with me.
And that's potentially fatal, like that can kill you.
Sepsis shock. I didn't even know, like, right, I had it obviously that week and I didn't know. And I was out back to CUH because we were only just after kind of coming home. And it was my birthday on the Sunday. So I started feeling really shitty on this Friday, I think it was. And my chest started swelling and I was like, what is this? And I was showing Eric, I was like, that's after swelling. And he was like, it's just probably your body healing. He goes, and you know, like settling. He was like, just relax, you know, because like I had to be, I was like, oh my God, oh my God. He was like, it's grand. He's like, relax. So that was Friday. So I felt so sick. I was really sick. And my friend was after being down with me during that week and her fella had COVID, but she didn't know. So, and then she came down. So then I thought that I had COVID because I really felt so bad. So I was doing COVID tests and I didn't have COVID and I was like, what is wrong with me? I was like, I'm just probably have to pick it up. Do you ever have doing this off? I was like, I'm always have to pick up something. So I was so sick. That was the Friday. Then Saturday came. I was so, so sick. Couldn't move all day Saturday. I was dying. Sunday was my birthday. So Eric was after getting me loads of balloons and he was after booking the Dean for food and all that. So he was just like, come on, get ready. And I was like, she's gone up to where he'd all cakes and balloons and everything.
Eric sounds like a great old boyfriend or partner.
He's the best in the world.
He's draining your back and everything, like, and then buying the flowers a few days later.
He's the best in the world for buying circle. Without him, I actually, I don't know where I'd be.
That's nice to say.
No, I swear to God, he's the best thing that ever happened to me. He really is. He's the best partner. He's the best person. He really is. You're quite patient with me. It's a good thing. We can all be hard rock sometimes and stuff.
I think
men and women.
Oh, yeah.
Men, of course, women, both sexes. I don't know, as women tend a bit more hard rock to me.
I'll be honest, I can be hard at times, no, in fairness. So, shout out to Nicole there.
Well, at least putting up with me. You can admit it, you know what I mean? But I was dying as well. And that was a Sunday, so we went in for food. We went into the Dean. I not even messaged around. It took me literally 4 hours to put on a bit of tan and do my makeup. And I was just like, I really don't want to go. And he was like, come on. He was like, I'm after booking. He was like, we just go for food. Right, went into the Dean. We went out at 6. I was home and all at 10 to 7. That's how sick I was. I was literally sitting down having my dinner. And I was like, that shake. And he was like, what is wrong with you? I was roasting out the same day. He was like, what is wrong with you? I was like, I'm freezing. I want to go home. He was like, put on my jumper. I was like, I want to go home. He was like, get a cocktail. I was like, I want to go home my day. So we ended up going home. And I couldn't wait. I just came in, stripped off. I put on my pajamas. I was shaking. I put on big, like, this is August. And I'm like, I was shaking with the cold. Put on big, fluffy pajamas. I was laying in the bed. It was like that rattling. He was like, what is wrong with you? I was like, I don't feel well. He was like, go see for a while. So the Monday came. I was still dying sick. And then Tuesday, I rang my brother. I was like, are you at work? And he was like, yeah. I was like, choose the care because he works in Appville. He's like, yeah. He goes, please bring me up to the hospital. He goes, he was like, what do you mean? Like, I was like, I'm so sick. I was like, I didn't sleep a wink. I swear, I was awake all Sunday night. No, all Monday night. I could not sleep. I was awake the whole night long. I was so sick. I was vomiting. I was in agony. I was just in so much pain. I couldn't stop vomiting. And I just couldn't sleep. I was that bad.
Mm.
And then I was after ringing him. I was like, will you bring me out to the hospital? He was like, Lisa, are you actually having a laugh? He was like, what? He was like, what's going on? So I told him. He mangled me then. He was like, you're feeling like this all fucking weekend. He was like, you didn't go to the hospital. I was like, I'm not able to go there and sit there for 12 hours. He's like, Lisa, you have to go to the hospital when you feel like this.
Mm.
So he's like, ring an ambulance. I was like, oh, I'm not ringing an ambulance, Gavin. He was like, ring an ambulance now. So I rang an ambulance, they came up. So I left him in, they done my stats and they checked my blood pressure and stuff. And they just looked at each other and they just were like, come on, come on, come on, we have to bring him to the hospital. So I got out to the hospital, that was on Tuesday. Wednesday, I was so, so sick out in COH. And then on Thursday, I went into sepsis shock. My whole body just started shutting down. My temperature went above 40. My blood pressure dropped to 50 over 30 or something. So I was hallucinating. I didn't know what was going on. I rang Eric because Eric was at work. I rang my brother because I was in the hospital all day on my own. The nurses, it was really, really busy on the ward. So, like, the nurses were coming in and out. I was just lying there and I was like, but, like, right at this stage, I don't think that anyone had sepsis either. It was only until after this happened that, like, they actually realised that I actually had sepsis. I was lying there and I was like, oh, my God. I was like, I don't feel well. My aunt rang me. She was like, what's up? I was like, I started bawling and crying. I was like, I feel like I'm going to die. I was like, I'm fucked, like, and she was like, he said, call the nurses, like, and I was like, I know, he goes, I'm calling them, I goes, but, like, they're not, I was like, they're busy, like, and she was like, you're sick, she goes, you're in a hospital, she goes, call the nurses now, she goes, get them to come over to you. So I just pressed the buzzer, and they came over, then they just checked my temperature, they checked my, I was shaking, and then it was like that, they were like, do you want another blanket? I was like, yeah, so I had, like, 3 or 4 blankets over me at one stage.
It mattered.
I was shaking.
How long does the sepsis last for then? Does that kind of just die away in the body after a while, or antibiotics and stuff?
The antibiotics, they're like bleach. They have to put through that. They're very strong.
Yeah.
You're actually lucky that it didn't destroy any of your organs.
I know. It's crazy. But, like, they had to sedate me. So, like, the last things I remember before they sedated me was, like, I rang my brother screaming, crying, and he was like, what's wrong? And I was like, I was like, I feel like I'm going to die. My whole, like, right, my body was burning me. My joints were burning me. I was shaking with the cold. I was screaming, crying. He was like, I'm coming out. He was like, I'm coming out. He was like, give me 5 minutes. So him and his wife came out, and they were just looking at me. He was like, what's wrong with her? I remember looking at him, but, like, right, I was going in and out. It was weird. It was like I was going in and out of consciousness or something. I was looking at him. He was like, what's wrong with her? And the nurses were like that. And then I was looking up, and then Eric then came out. He was panicking then as well. He came up to me. He was holding my hand. He was rubbing my hand. He was like, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. The last thing I remember is looking up at him, and he was looking down. He was rubbing my hand. That's the last thing I can remember.
Mm.
And then I woke up the next morning, and they were like, wait, we're prepping you for surgery. They were like, you should go for surgery. I was like, what do you mean I have to go for surgery? They were like, you have to go for surgery. They were like, we have to open up your chest. We have to drain it. Because I was after getting drained the Wednesday, and it didn't do anything for me. So they were like, we have to bring you down for surgery. We have to open you back up. So I literally got like 20 minutes notice that I was going for surgery.
This was the second operation then?
This was the first one that I got after I got the sepsis. So they just gave me 20 minutes. So they were like, we have to bring it in for surgery. So I was like, okay. So I rang my brother, rang Eric. They were like, okay. I just said to my brother, I was like, I'm so scared. He's like, don't be scared. He's like, you have to do this. I was like, I was bawling and crying. I was
How many operations did you get when you came home?
Two. So that was the first one I was
after. Did they find the gauze in your boob that time?
No, it was just not. It was up here. And I was after getting ultrasounds and everything. So
it was the second operation they found that?
It was the second one. That was only 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
You know what? I was looking at something on the telly recently. I think it was Virgin or some other station. There was this, and we were talking about it beforehand. Yeah. I think this is important to mention as well. There was... mother and daughter went over to Turkey as well to get some procedures done.
I think she got a gastric band, I think, was it?
Was it?
I think that's what that woman got. I could be wrong now, but I think that's what she got.
What happened was the daughter got her work done, she came out, and the mother, there was no sign of the mother for 2 days inside in the hospital. And the daughter was going around the place looking for the mother, trying to find out information of what was after happening. And... her mother was after dying.
Mm-hmm. And they were after cremating her body over there.
Fuck off.
Her mother died on the operating table. They didn't even tell the daughter that she was
after. She just cremated her.
They just got rid of the body.
Yeah, they just said, we have to clean up the body and stuff. But like, Eric thought I was dead as well over there.
Kanye West's mother died and getting cosmetic surgery as well. She did. And he was never the same since.
Yeah.
He mental illnesses. And like, it's only after, this is after happened to me that I'm after realising, you know, like, right, imagine I died, like, right, imagine what my children would think.
Mm.
Do you know, like, I have two young boys and stuff. And like, imagine what they think, you know.
Would you go back?
No, never again. I'm afraid, Jesus, I'm afraid of everything. I would never go back. Mm. Never, ever, ever.
Do you know if people are thinking about going over, but they want to maybe reach out to you, ask you questions or some advice, how can they do that?
They can contact me on Facebook or whatever.
We'll put in your social media.
That's if you want to know.
Yeah, yeah. I want to make people aware of like how dangerous
this is. Very, very important.
It's just so scary. Yeah. You know, right? I heard stories before I went away, and you know, it was Joanna, it was actually one of the girls actually only said to me a few weeks ago, Terry. She said, like, Lisa, right, Joanna, like, right, everyone hears stories and everyone hears bad stories of and things, you know, right? And I heard stories before I went away, and I was like, yeah, but sure, like, you know, right, you never think it's going to happen to you, and it doesn't really kick in and it doesn't hit home until it's someone that like you know or someone that you care about. Because like that's what my friend said to me. She goes, like, Lisa, obviously we all heard stories before. She goes, but it's just different because it's you and we know you.
Yeah.
Do you know? So like, right, unless you know the person or unless you're close to them or whatever, do you know?
But it can happen to anyone.
It can happen to anyone, and sure, look.
That's why your stories are so important here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Your story is so important because this thing with going to Turkey and getting these procedures done is becoming a massive thing in Ireland.
It is.
For both men and women. But we really don't understand the consequences until we listen to somebody. You.
No, they don't care about you. There's no aftercare. There's no practice of care over there.
Hmm.
Like, right, it's just money. All they want is your money. It's like the second they gave them my money, they were just like, I just felt like they didn't give a shit about me afterwards. Even Eric said it, you know, he's like, his attitudes have changed towards you. Yeah. He was falling all over me. And then when I gave him the money, do you know?
Yeah.
I didn't really pick up on it properly. Yeah. Eric picked up on it. He was like, his attitudes have to change it.
Yeah.
And then, sure, like, I got the operation on the Wednesday and he came into me on Friday and he was like, oh, you're fine. Oh, you can go home. I was like, I can't even walk. I had a cataract thing inside me because I couldn't even walk. I couldn't even go to the toilet unassisted. I couldn't do anything. I could not get out of the bed. The second day they got me out of the bed, I fainted out in the corridor. Eric had to bring me in. I was very bad. I was like, you want me to go back to a hotel room and I can't even walk. I was like, how's this possible? I was like, is there a 24-hour nurse? Because, right, this is what they taught me, that I'd have a 24-hour nurse when I go back to the hotel. I'd have 24 hours assistance, all this. It's all bullshit. It's all bullshit.
Well, at least people know when they're going over, if they listen to this, they're going with their eyes wide open. Mm-hmm. And whatever may happen, I hope that they have good health. But maybe it's not worth the risk.
It's not worth
it. But it's up for people to maybe come to that decision themselves. But thanks for your time.
No problem.
And thanks for being so open with us.
No,
I appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
And we'll see everybody next week.
Sláinte, Jack.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.